In your Bibles today to Matthew, the ninth chapter. Matthew, ninth chapter. I don't know about you, but when we think of Thanksgiving, I think of sharing. I think of sharing food and around the table. It's amazing how much goes on around Thanksgiving of giving. And Christmas, we naturally get in a spirit of giving and sharing. But, you know, that should be what we do all year long. And it's amazing how just some things can change our life forever, isn't it? 1975, an amazing thing happened. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, touched my life. And He convicted me of my sin. My sinfulness that I had in my life, and that I needed a Savior. And, you know, we think sometimes people are worse than we are. They need a Savior, but we're all right. Well, He convicted me that I needed Him in my life. And I asked Him to come into my life that day, and through that one thing, it changed my life completely. It completely changed the direction of my life. Now, that may be something that has happened to you. When God saved you, your life changed. You were a different person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Today, we tell people that when they receive Jesus Christ, they will be changed. And so many times, there's no change that takes place. But repentance is a change in our life. I was sorry for the sin that I was committing. I was sorry for the things that I did in my life. And God, I recognized that, and God wanted me to change that. And it changed my direction of life completely. I turned around and started towards God. Now, I still sin. I still do things that are wrong. But, oh, I thank God that when I do, I have forgiveness. He loves me so much. He's a great God. And He loves you this morning. I don't know where you're at in your life. I know that each one of us have things in our life that we need to deal with. I pray if God this morning is dealing with you and convicting you of sin in your life, that you will come to trust Him for forgiveness, that He will change your life and put you in a new and different direction. I pray that if God is dealing with you about some past sins, that this morning you will come and say, Lord, I realize that you forgive me, but I keep dragging this up. Old devil keeps dragging it up to you. That you will deal with that at the cross, leave it there, and claim His forgiveness for your sin. It's amazing what God can do. Now, in our passage of Scripture, this one incident changed Matthew's life forever. Look in verse 10 or 9 of chapter 9. As Jesus passed on from there, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and He said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed Him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank You that You're here this morning. And Lord, I realize that I do not have the words to say. Only those that You speak through me can touch the hearts of people. And Heavenly Father, I pray today that Your Holy Spirit will fill this place. Lord, we come to hear a word. And Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts at the point of our need. For every one of us are at different places, at different points in our life. And only you know what we need at this time. And Lord, take these words from your gospel and touch our hearts. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Matthew got up one morning. He went out to his tax place where he collected taxes. That day, Jesus came by. He was a child of the devil, Matthew was. He was a sinner. He had greed in his life. Matter of fact, he was a slave to greed. He went home that night completely different. He went home that night a child of God and a slave to Jesus Christ. You come here this morning, maybe you are a slave to sin, a slave to the devil. You have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never been born again. You are lost, and you know you're lost. You've never repented. You've never turned your life around towards God, and you know that. If you will let Christ come into your life today, he will give you a new direction, and you can go from this place a child of the King, a child of God, a slave to Jesus, just like Matthew. You see, all of us need Christ in our life. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, praise God, that day when I heard those words that Jesus Christ loved me, that Jesus Christ died for me. And though I had not been what people call a hardened sinner, where one might commit a crime or something, I had sin in my life. For we are born with that sin nature. And we need Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. That just boils it all down to that point. Every single one of us have that sinful nature. Matthew, no doubt, had heard Jesus Christ preach. He sat many times at his tax collection booth. There, as he gathered his taxes on the road, he was a pretty wealthy man, so to speak, for that place, Capernaum, there was a corner of the road where people come from Damascus to the Far East, and they came by through Capernaum. And there he gathered his taxes, and he had probably heard about the miracles that Christ was doing. He had probably heard about the demonic man that he'd cast the demons out, or the lame man, how he'd made him to walk, how he'd healed the sick, and raised the dead. And as Jesus preached the glories of the kingdom of heaven and talked about the glories of the kingdom of heaven, the taxes, the coins in Matthew's hand, began to lose their glitter. They weren't as priceless as they used to be. Oh, he began to think about what he was in his life. And he probably thought, you know, that's me. I need a Savior. And as Jesus taught about the scripture, what profit is it a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew probably thought, me? Me? Is he talking to me? Can I be saved? A tax collector? A sinner? Can I be saved? And I just imagine the Holy Spirit of God spoke to his heart and said, why not? Why not? Why not come to Jesus Christ? You know, when I was thinking about that, and I sit on the fourth pew back and on the right-hand side as you went out, as I sat there that night and I thought about that, the old devil come and tapped me on the shoulder and says, nah, you got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. He's not talking to you. I imagine Matthew felt the same way. The old devil was there, I guarantee you. And he probably thought, Matthew, you got to be kidding. You be saved? Nobody likes you. Have you ever thought about that? He was a tax collector. Nobody liked him. They despised him. He was a traitor. Oh, the conflicts that the devil puts in our way. Oh, the pull. And let me tell you something. Some of you are probably sitting where Matthew sat, and the devil is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, listen, he's not talking to me. I've gone to church all my life. So had the Pharisees. Would you let him talk to your heart today? You might have been in church all your life. I had been. I'd been in a church ever since I was a little bitty thing. Even before I was born, Mother carried me to church. Man, I was a church addict. I went to church. I was drugged there. Daddy drugged me there, and he said, son, you sit right there on that pew, and you listen, and you don't dare get up. I've done that many a day. I sit there and listen. But it never got me salvation. I never really came to know Jesus Christ. Oh, I even come down to the front and shook the preacher's hand one time, and he said, son, you want to go to hell? And I said, no. Don't want none of that stuff. He sent me over there, and I was baptized in the clean Angelina River. But you know what? That did not save me. And more than likely, some of you are at that point now. You went through all that process, but you do not have that salvation in your life. You never had that personal relationship with God. You just came to church because that was what you thought was you supposed to do. And the old devil is tapping you on the shoulder and said, don't go down. Don't go down there. There's no need in that. Just like Matthew. Matthew, don't go down there. But that day, God went by Matthew and said, Matthew, follow me. Follow me. Matthew got excited about Jesus Christ. I can see him now, boy. He's closing the doors to that tax collection place, and he's moving on in his life. He's coming towards Jesus Christ. He's got excited. The Bible says he had a fellowship dinner for Jesus Christ. Matthew invited his friends that he had, his fellow publicans. All of them were sinners, so he said, come on and join me. Man, this man Jesus has said, follow me, and I've invited him over to the house along with all our friends, and boy, can't you tell one thing? The tongues begin to wag in that church. They begin to talk, hey, those kind of people are going to mess up our church. Those kind of people, we don't need tax collectors. Sinners, did you hear what Jesus called today? That Matthew down there on the side road collecting our taxes, overcharging us. Why does he want to associate with such people as that man? Sound familiar? It's probably been said in our churches. Jesus answered them, hey, they that be whole need no physician, but those that are sick need one. You see, any religion made up of such proud people as the Pharisees were and the publicans is not worth a plug nickel. If it doesn't lead to repentance, it's no good. That's what Christ said. We need repentance in our life. Christian life is not an easy way, but it's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but how? Through me. Oh, there's all times of things today we hear, all different ways of Christ. You just feel good. Listen, feeling good doesn't save you. It's nice to feel good. It's nice to go to church sometimes and come out feeling good. But listen, if a feel-good religion is all you got, it's not worth much. Because there's going to be some hard times in our life, and that won't work. What you need is Christ Jesus. What you need is a change. What you need is the love of God. Now, how do we win people to Christ? Well, that's the reason I wanted to talk about the love of God this morning. You see, there's a love that won Matthew. Love wins people to the Lord. Matthew was so glad that somebody loved him. People will never listen to you until first they know that you really care for them, that you love them. Jesus saw the hurting wherever he went. He saw the lonely wherever he went. How about this Thanksgiving, just letting somebody know that you love them, that you're concerned for them? There's a lot of lonely people in the world. There's a lot of lonely people out there with no one to talk to, no one to share with. Oh, if we could just find one and tell them about Jesus, we need to let them know that God loves them. That's what Jesus did. When people looked at Matthew, they saw that money-grubbing little cheat. But Jesus saw a lost soul. When they looked at him, they thought, well, he's a greedy fella. He's always wanting more than the fair share of taxes. But Jesus saw a lost person who needed help. Someone to ignore, the people thought. But Jesus says, no, follow me. I've got a job for you. Jesus had a love for people. That's how he won people. Because Jesus saw a hurting human being and wanted to help him instead of criticizing and hurting. How do you do that? You've got to understand that we need to see people through the eyes of love. Bitterness, hate, gossip never wins anyone to Christ. Only through love, you see. Only through love that people know that we actually care for them. All these children, you know what they need? They need love. They need to understand that we as a church love them, that God loves them. Oh, that they're whatever they do, it's not going to bother us. You see, that's how we look at our own children, don't we? We love them. No matter what they do, no matter what they become, we still love them. Man, I tell you what, we love them because that's what Christ did. He loved people. He cared for them. And I tell you, no matter what my children do, even though sometimes they're wrong, we still love them. Daddy would always say, son, you know, I love you, but I'm going to also discipline you. Because I love you. And that made no sense at all when I was a kid. But you know what? It makes a whole lot of sense today. He would say, you know, I'm not going to support you in that because that's wrong. I never will forget, we have quite a large family. Not as large as Brother Bill's, but a large family. I had three brothers. One of them is a little bit different from everybody else. He's a good guy. He loves people to death. He'd give you the shirt off his back. But he was one of these young men that got in trouble growing up. Got in trouble quite a bit growing up. Daddy loved him. Daddy, one night, he got a call. He was in jail. Most parents would say, well, what'd my kid do wrong? And go get him out. Daddy said, no, I'm not coming to get him out. Let him sit there. Let him pay his time. Oh, he could have got him out. But you know, it probably wouldn't have helped him. But leaving him there a couple of days woke him up to the reality of life. If you sin, you will pay the consequences. Daddy's not going to bail you out. you know what? I learned a lesson too. I don't want to do that. I didn't want to go to that place. I wanted to stay away from that place. I had a bigger brother. He was a big guy, about the size of Damon back here. Damon's a pretty good sized fellow when you look at him. Kent was about that size, and Daddy was about that size. And Daddy always says, "Don't back talk me, son." Well, one day out in the garage, Kent said the magic words. Boy, Daddy let him have it. Over the front of that car he went, and he looked at me, and I said, "I don't want none of that." I was smarter than they were. It didn't take me long to learn that you don't mess with Daddy, you see. Now, some people would say that's child abuse. No, it was just good raising. There's a difference. He loved us. He gave us everything that we needed. Not everything we wanted, but everything we needed to make it through life. Most of all, he gave us Jesus Christ. He prayed for us on the mornings. He would pray for his children. I never will forget that. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us. The toughest job as Christians is not convincing people of the truths of Christianity. God will do that. God will do that. You don't have to prove to people the doctrines. You don't have to prove to them the resurrection or the incarnation. The hardest problem in our churches today is convincing people that we love them and God loves them. Because so many times we're so stuffy at church that people come to our churches and they don't feel welcomed. Man. Visitors, I hope someone welcomed you this morning. I hope that you got welcomed so many times that you're tired of shaking hands. That's the way we love you. Now, some people say, "Well, I don't like that," but they're difficult to start with. But just keep loving people. Let them know that you love them and God loves them. And that's what Matthew, the love of God, constrained Matthew to shut down that money-making business and step aside and follow him. He was searching for something. And Jesus Christ was that something. Now let me say something else. Not only that, there's a growth that changed him. The words, "follow me," show that the life of a Christian is more than just coming down and being baptized in a water. The life of a Christian is a process where we have to learn to walk, where we have to learn to grow, where we have to learn to do battle. You see, when a Christian is saved, that begins his Christian life. He's crawling on his hands and knees. I like to think he's a babe in Christ. But a babe doesn't stay a babe all his life. He begins to walk. He begins to learn the truths of God. He begins to learn the doctrines of Christ. He begins to learn the teachings and the Word of God. And as he learns those teachings and puts them into his life, he begins to walk closer and closer with God. It is a process. You don't become spiritually mature overnight. For some, it takes years and years. But listen, God loves you. It's like a parent along with that little child. We had our little grandbaby the other night. Oh, she's such a darling. She looks just like me. She's just a little thing, and she hasn't learned to walk yet. But she's standing up on her own now. Man, that's amazing. I didn't learn to walk till I was 3 years old. No, I learned faster than that. But you know what? It's a process. And you know what? She's going to fall. She's going to stump her toe. She's going to have a bloody nose. She's going to have a few scratches on her body. But it's all a process, isn't it? If we didn't go through that, we would never get to the point where we can walk on our own 2 feet. Wouldn't it be silly to say, you know, it's safer if I just crawl the rest of my life? No, we have to go. And the Christian life is just like that. There's a process in which we go through. You start reading your Bible. You start praying. You start growing in the Spirit. Yes, you're going to trip up and you're going to fall. You're going to do some things that are displeasing to God. But that is the way we grow. And when we do, we confess them to Him. He says, if we confess our sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. It's just like a parent. When that child falls, you pick them up, you dust them off, and you get them going again. Why? Because you love them. It's a growth process. Then it's also a battle. The Christian life is a battle. Man, let me tell you something. When we're lost, when we're out there and we do not know Jesus Christ, the old devil ain't gonna mess with you. Why? He's already got you. He's already ruining your life and you don't know it. You're going to his place. But once you're saved, once you invite Jesus Christ, once Matthew said, okay, God, I'm following you, and he locked up his stuff and started walking with Christ, there's a process in his life where he had to begin to grow. Oh, yes, and do battle with the devil. The old devil wants to destroy us. No wonder Paul says, listen, put on the whole armor of God every day. Put it on. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. All those things, you better put them on because you're in a battle. It's not an easy life. The Christian life is not for those wimpy boys and girls. The Christian life is for someone who will stand firm in the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. You see, it is hard to go against the world. But that's what you must do if you're going to live and follow Christ. In those words, follow me, Jesus was saying, Matthew, you've got to stand on your own two feet. You've got to stand against the devil. You've got to stand against the world. And we need to learn. We need to experience the growth as Christians. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not growing, something is wrong in the process. It takes faith. You've got to learn to live by faith. You've got to learn to live trusting the Word of God. But you go back over in the Old Testament and you look at all the men of faith. They stumble, they fail, but God picked them back up, and they learned from their experiences, and over and over and over, they fail, but each time, great men of faith can get back up and get right with God and move on to greater heights. Too often, we let people get baptized and live and die, never growing in that process. Never reaching their full potential. Matthew grew. He grew in his relationship to God. But friends, don't think he grew overnight. In that process, or in those two words, Matthew, follow me. Jesus was saying, Matthew, you're going to have to learn to walk. You're going to have to learn to do battle. Life is a process. And the growth changed his life, all because of the love that Jesus Christ showed him. And then, let me just tell you the last thing, the compassion that motivated Christ. Matthew, when he was a baby Christian, he was full of joy. Joy of salvation. Hey, he put on a Thanksgiving dinner. He invited all his friends. He wanted everybody to know about the joy of his new life. Folks, isn't that wonderful? As soon as you become a Christian, you should want to tell the world. I love that old song, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. Man, that's what we need to do. Tell the world through givings, through our offerings, through the way we live our life. We want to share the joy of salvation. Oh, Brother Robert, he gave me a blessing this morning. I don't know Brother Robert back here. He wanted a television set. and it was on sale down at Walmart on, I guess that was one of Black Friday's deal. He loved that, he wanted that television, so he went down there and he found out, he was telling us this morning, he had to stay up all night to get that television, man. But let me tell you something. While he sat there, he told us this morning, he won one boy to Christ. Amen. He was telling people about Jesus Christ all night long. And then he said, God wanted me there. He got his television. Oh, but there was something greater happened from all of that. There's a compassion that motivated him to tell people and share Jesus with the lost. A few years ago, there was a fire in a home. Firemen rushed in to save the children. They got burnt. A man who had witnessed the whole tragic thing never got out of his car to try to go in. Those children lost their lives, and a fireman lost his life. I thank the Lord for firemen and policemen, and people that will go beyond the normal. This man that didn't do a thing lived that over and over in his mind day after day. And he told his wife, you know, I can't quit thinking about that. The screams of those children. Somebody help me. He said, I can't get that. And his wife said, well, honey, you're not a fireman. There was nothing you could have done. And he paused a long time and he says, yes, there is. I could have tried. I could have tried. Folks, there's people every day in our world that are dying and they're burning in a devil's hell. And we say, there's nothing I could do. You could have tried. You could try. But yet we sit still in our comfortable pews and we come on Sunday morning and we feel like we've done God a favor and we never try to win a soul. Someone says, can a person be saved like that? I don't think so. I believe when a person is saved, he's going to spread the joy, because let me tell you something, there's a joy that motivates us. Are you trying this morning? What can I do, preacher? Well, let me tell you something. I've known a few ladies in my time that couldn't get out of the house, but you know what? They had a spiral notebook beside them. And they prayed over and over and over for the pastor. They prayed for the lost people. They prayed for the sick. You can pray. And unless you're doing that by prayer, you're not doing what God asked you. You can also try by tears. Have you shed any tears for the lost? Have you shed any tears for the boys and girls who are lost? You know, we don't even do that, do we? I don't know about you, but what tears my heart out is when I see those little kids on television that are dying of hunger, and they're literally swole up with their bellies and their little legs are so skinny, and I know they're dying every single day. And I sit and have plenty to eat. And a matter of fact, you'll probably throw food away at lunch. And you'll say, well, I can't give the Lottie Moon because it's, you know, your reason don't make sense. Why don't you take what you spend today and give that much? It'll be a wonder how much that would be, you see. Oh, we can't save all of them, but we can sure try. We can sure reach out in love. Let me say this morning, let's try. Let's try to do what we can. You can also try by acts of love or words of witness to win those who are lost. The best way you can express thanksgiving to the Lord for what He's done is to try to win others to Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful this morning. I want to win somebody. Now, let me say this to those Matthews that are sitting here. I wonder if you're not looking me in the face and thinking, does God really love me? Let me tell you, He does. He loves you. Maybe you have a wasted, pointless life this morning. Your life is going nowhere. You'll be surprised how many people tell me, "Preacher, I just feel like my life is wasted." Well, it don't have to be. Give it to Christ. The message that Christ gives will forgive you, and then He will use you. All you need to do is ask Him to come into your life this morning. It's that simple. Just ask Him to come into your life and change your life, and then start that growth process. You have a talent, I guarantee you, that can be used, whether it's playing the piano. Listen, what if that man that says, "I'm blind, I can't do anything. For the rest of my life, I'm going to sit down and let somebody take care of me, let my mother feed me, because I'm blind." We wouldn't have heard the beautiful music. Not because Miss Pam's not talented, it's because somebody has to tune that piano. And He's the one that does it. Oh, He didn't sit down and wallow in self-pity. He trusted Christ to do something with his life. And oh, what a talent he has. God can use you if you'll just let Him. And then let me say this to our proud church member that might think sinners will mess up our church. You need to get down here and get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for thinking of something like that. Because if it hadn't been for God and His great love, you'd be in the same place. It is the self-righteous person, intoxicated with his own self-goodness, that we need to confess our sin and let God change our lives. And when we do that and show the love of Christ this Thanksgiving, or every day of our life, not just Thanksgiving, this church will be full and overflowing because people need the love of God. People need the Lord. And all they're waiting for is to someone who says they know Him to share that love. Just like old Robert, all night long, sharing Jesus. If you're here this morning, God's led you to make a decision. Don't let the devil win the victory. I mean, he'll tap you on the shoulder over and over and over and says, "No, stay where you are." And you'll leave out of here in the same condition you come in. But if you'll put all that aside and say, "Lord, I want to do business with you today. I don't care what my wife says. I don't care what my husband says. I don't care what my children say. I'm going to do business with God today." He'll do business with you. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the love that You give us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us that we might have life. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision, let them put aside the thoughts of the devil and let them come to the altar. And Lord, I give You praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.